Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. And in this weekly segment, we speak to BBC journalists about the international stories they're tracking in the week ahead. Today, we're joined by Audrey Tinline, senior broadcast journalist at the BBC. Audrey, always a pleasure.
Hello, good morning from here in London.
Good evening from here in Singapore. And let's start with, though, an update on what's happening with COVID around the world. The WHO, we hear, has its annual World Health Assembly this week. Is anything likely to come out of this? I mean, 200 countries are joining.
Yeah, nearly 200 countries all getting together in a virtual manner to discuss what went wrong over the the period of COVID, especially at the beginning. The WHO spent the last 8 months looking at what happens and what needs to be done. They have got a plan. Part of it, of course, as you would expect, includes vaccines. And what they want to see is much greater use of this COVAX scheme, which provides vaccines to low and middle-income countries. And they would like the high-income countries to commit to 1 billion doses to be given to 92 countries who have got lower incomes, and that's got to be done by September this year, they say, and they'd like to see 2 billion doses by the middle of next year. So that's one of the things that's going to be on the agenda.
But Audrey, here at the same time in this region, many countries are still in the grips of this virus, but some news about how the vaccine works against the so-called Indian variant has come out over the weekend. Bring us up to date on what's happening.
Yeah, that's right, and I don't need to tell your listeners how bad it is in India itself. It's unfortunately crossed the 300,000 death toll mark on Monday. In Delhi, though, they say that things are stabilizing a little bit and that they might be able to look at lifting lockdowns, but it's early days. Some news came out over the weekend from Public Health England into the effectiveness of the Pfizer and the AstraZeneca vaccines. Now, it's found that they are effective against the Indian variant, but only particularly effective after two doses. Pfizer found to be 88% effective at stopping symptomatic disease after the second dose. AstraZeneca 60% effective, which is considered to be good. But after the first dose, they're only 33% effective. So there's a big push on here now where the Indian variant is being seen in pockets around the country. There's a big push to get people in for their second doses.
And we hear also Japan is racing, pardon the pun, to vaccinate its people ahead of the Olympics due to start there in a few weeks. What do we know?
Yeah, this week, today, they've opened up a couple of large-scale vaccination centres, one in Tokyo, one in Osaka. They're looking to inoculate 15,000 people a day. And of course, as we've been hearing, the International Olympics Committee wants to go ahead with these games in Tokyo, and the government says they will go ahead. But public opinion is not on the side of the games happening. So the head of the IOC said at the final meeting last week before the Olympics were held, that he hopes that public opinion will change as more people get vaccinated against COVID-19.
And elsewhere, particularly in South America, Argentina's gone into lockdown. How much have cases been rising there?
Yeah, cases have been going up and up in Argentina, a country of around 45 million people. It's got around 36,000 new cases each day, more than 400 deaths. The president there has said that they're facing their worst moment in the pandemic, so they've imposed a 9-day lockdown, which started at the weekend. And it's not the only country, of course, in Latin America where cases have been pretty high. Some new figures have just come out that a million people in Latin America have died in Latin America and the Caribbean since March last year. And the interesting thing is nearly 90% of those deaths were in just five countries: Brazil, of course, Mexico, Colombia, Argentina, and Peru.
Audrey, switching gears, let's talk about fossil fuels. And two of the world's big oil companies face challenges this week as pressure mounts to move away faster from fossil fuels. What can you tell us?
Yeah, a couple of interesting things going on. In the Netherlands, there's a judgment expected this week in a case brought by Friends of the Earth and many other co-plaintiffs against Royal Dutch Shell, which of course is headquartered there. And the campaigners are claiming that Shell causes dangerous climate change and that it has to stop. This is an interesting case because it's really one of the first times that a court's been asked to order a transnational corporation to emit less CO2 to save the climate. So all eyes are on what sort of judgment might come out of that, whether the court might try to force Shell to move ahead much faster with moving away from fossil fuels. The company, of course, says that it does support the goals set out in the 2015 Paris Agreement, and it's promising to cut the what it calls carbon intensity of its energy products by around 30% by 2035. But, of course, the activists want to see much more than that.
We're speaking with Audrey Tinline, who's a senior broadcast journalist at the BBC. And Audrey, it's not just this court challenge, is it? Shareholders of other oil companies are also putting them under pressure. What's happening on that front this week?
Yeah, the US-based oil company ExxonMobil, it's got its annual meeting this week. And what's happening there is quite interesting, because a fairly small hedge fund has called Engine Number One has been trying to make changes to the board. It's been pushing on this for a little while. And it wants to see a board overhaul and changes to Exxon's strategy on climate. There are other things it wants to see, changes on capital allocation, executive pay. It's fairly small, but coming in behind it are some of the institutional shareholder services, which recommend how others should vote, and they seem to be approving of this strategy. So we could see a move there, and what they would like to see is Exxon move towards an energy transition. They say that the board is behind the times on this move, and that this is, they say, an existential risk to the company, and it could see its profits in trouble if it doesn't move faster along those lines.
Right. Audrey, we need an update, though, on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. The focus now is on reconstruction after the ceasefire between Israel and Hamas in Gaza. So attention's now turning to the humanitarian situation there. What's expected this week?
Yeah, what we are seeing this week, of course, is after those 11 days of fighting, there was a lot of damage to the infrastructure in Gaza, you know, buildings left in rubble. Israel has now opened up the crossings so that humanitarian aid can get across. The UN is launching an appeal to repair the damage. It's a very densely populated area. Israel's blockaded Gaza since 2007, saying that it prevents Hamas, the militant group there, from bringing in arms. But the UN has said it's long been asking Israel to stop the blockades. And also this week, we're going to see a meeting of the UN Human Rights Council. It's holding a special session to look at what it calls the grave humanitarian rights situation in the occupied Palestinian territory. So, as you say, all eyes are on trying to get things reconstructed for the people living in Gaza.
Diplomatic efforts are going on now to cement that ceasefire and turn it into something more permanent. Who's involved in that, and how likely will we see permanent?
Well, of course, nothing's ever really permanent in the Middle East, is it? That's the problem. It's a very, very long-running dispute. And the Egyptian team has been in Israel, and it's been shuttling between the two sides. Also this week, the U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, is expected to visit the region. And he's been talking about U.S. support for a two-state solution as the only way, really, to provide hope to Israel and the Palestinians. This is interesting because it's a shift in tone and probably in substance from Donald Trump's administration, which cut aid to the Palestinian Authority and it issued a Middle East peace plan with a strong Israeli backing, but no support from the Palestinians. So what people in the region, and especially the Palestinians, are hoping to see is a shift in tone. And it's likely that we could see some new remarks coming out of that visit.
Thank you so much, Audrey. Please stay safe where you are.
Thank you very much. I will.
Audrey Tinline, senior broadcast journalist at the BBC. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.